Okay, well, welcome everybody. We are excited for you to join in this SOCM Masterclass, and for those of you that will be listening later, this is our SOCM podcast, and we're excited to be joined by Brian Blount. Hello, Brian.
Hey.
How's it going? And Brian and I have been friends for a very long time.
A long time.
Yes, yeah. And he has been a friend and a mentor in my life over the last several years, specifically as I've been the School of Kingdom Ministry director. And we just love sharing stories and learning from each other and doing kingdom ministry. And if you're not familiar with Brian, he's written two very helpful books.
Very helpful.
When it comes to, if he does so, say so himself, it's From Sanctuary to the Streets, right? That's the first one. And then the second one is Putting Jesus on Display with Love and Power.
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah. So I want to just encourage you to get those books because they will stir your faith to live this out naturally, supernatural in your everyday lifestyle. But many of you are familiar with him if you've been a recent student with the School of Kingdom Ministry. And so he's going to be sharing with us live tomorrow night, and we're going to be sending out to the current students that are in classes with us right now. But we thought it'd be great to sit down and just have a conversation and just maybe even veer off to some of the harder things when it comes to kingdom ministry. Some of you sent in some great questions, so we will go through some of those questions. If you have a question and we're not going to address it, maybe you can put that in the chat also. Obviously, if you're listening to this later, you can't do that, so there is a benefit to live. But welcome everybody. Tell us where you're from the chat. That'd be great to see where everybody's tuning in from. But Brian, so great to have you here. And I thought I would just start out with, like, you know, I love origin stories of just how do people get started in kingdom ministry, and how did the Lord kind of grow you and even just kind of launch you to say, okay, this is what I want my whole life to be about, equipping the saints and all that. So I'll just start real general, and you can kind of go where the Spirit leads.
Yeah, so, you know, I came to the Lord when I was 16 years old, had a powerful encounter with Jesus where literally I felt his presence wrap around me and, like, love the hell out of me.
Wow.
And from that point on, I was just really following Jesus, and I had a passion to share the gospel. And then kind of, and I saw the Lord move in some miraculous ways. And then kind of my early 20s, I got connected with the Vineyard. And it was in the Vineyard that I began to learn about, like, the kingdom and learn about, like, Jesus wanted to take ordinary, everyday disciples and do extraordinary things through life. And I'm like, really? This is, like, real? This is true? We can do this stuff for the kingdom? And so I had a great mentor named Charles Bellow who really took Janine and I under our wing and under his wing and began to just equip us in naturally supernatural. It began to open up the scriptures and show us that this is what disciples do. This is what Christians do. And he did, like, activation clinic time, you know, kind of old style Vineyard clinic time, and took us through, like, five-step model and all these things like that. And I'm like, wow, there's, like, there's, like, a manual that teaches you how to do this stuff. And this is before, like, School of Kingdom Ministry. And I honestly, I wish that I had had the opportunity to do something like School of Kingdom Ministry because of the tools, the equipping, the activation, the community, all of those kind of things. I think if I would have had something like that, it really probably would have propelled me even further. But, you know, I had Charles, I had the church, and then, you know, we just began to just talk about these stories. And he would share everything, like how God had done things through his life. And I had just this appetite just began to grow in me.
Yeah.
And so we gave opportunity to be able to do ministry, like, in kind of small group settings, more like, you know, home groups and that kind of stuff like that. I think they used to call them, like, kinship groups back in the day. You know, we've kind of morphed
back
and changed
in day,
back
guys.
In the day, you know. And so, you know, we learned to develop in those smaller group settings. But, you know, even in that, honestly, I was hungry and I was excited to learn, but I was scared to, like, step out to do this stuff. You know, I know now when people hear this, they're like, really? You were like, oh, yes. And honestly, still to this day, I feel 1,000 butterflies hit my stomach. Like, that hasn't left. And I'm kind of glad it hasn't because I think it keeps me in that place of just being tuned, like, this is God stuff, right? And I know, like, it's his power working through.
Yeah.
You know, us frail people, right? These frail humans. That
almost like a dependence. Like,
it's a complete dependence.
Yeah.
Like, if God, you don't show up, I'm going to look foolish, right? And so, but just begin to hunger and thirst for this kind of stuff. And once I saw it in the book, and then I heard it in the story of ordinary people doing it, I thought, gosh, I want to do that, you know? Ooh. And so we'd step out and do things. I got comfortable where I'd start praying for people in small groups, and I'd pray for people in the church. And I started, you know, really kind of getting like words of knowledge that kind of came kind of quick, and I would, you know, do those on Sunday mornings. The funniest thing was I'd get up and I would share these words on Sunday morning, and nobody would respond.
Hmm.
And I'm like, man, am I missing it? And like, am I blowing it? Always after the service, someone comes, hey, that was me. This happened to me.
How many times has that happened?
And over and over and over. And I started to go, wow, okay. The Lord is speaking. People just aren't responding.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, I'm going to adjust a mic thing.
You can adjust the mic thing.
You can just keep.
And I'll just keep speaking right into this. And I'll act like I'm just talking to you right there. And so I just began to, you know, still step out, even though I wasn't seeing the immediate response. And actually, it kind of built something in me to not be focused in on if people were responding. I started to know, okay, God really was speaking to me.
Yeah.
But then I was like, okay, this is great that it's happening in the church. It's happening in small groups. It's happening on Sunday morning. It's happening in places we gather. That's awesome. But there's this place in me, is like, I wanted people to, like, experience Jesus, right? And, like, and I heard all these stories about, because my pastor was good about, like, feeding me all this stuff from Wimber, you know, power evangelism, power healing, and he would tell me stories about, like, Blaine Cook and, you know, all these guys from the early days, and I'm like, wow, like, they were doing this?
Yeah.
Like, I want to do this stuff, you know? And I think I heard about Randy Clark early on as well, too. I went to a Randy Clark meeting in my early 20s, and I had, like, a powerful encounter where he prayed for me. It was, like, crazy impartation. The power of God hit me.
Tell me about this.
Yeah.
So you're in a meeting.
Yeah.
Tell me the story. What happened?
It was like, I think he was doing some renewal meetings.
Okay.
He was still in the vineyard. Yeah. He was doing some renewal meetings like in Oklahoma. And so I went. And man, it was like towards the end, he's doing what Randy does, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just he's just masterful at what he does. And he really helps you to believe, like, I think his message then, still his message carries on, like, God wants to use little old me, you know, and I love that, because that was also the thing, I think, with the beauty of the vineyard, is these values, right, and that it's not for, like, the superstar.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for the who's who of the prophetic healing zoo. It's mm-hmm. just for the average little old me. Anybody can do this. That, I think, if I didn't have that teaching and that expression through my pastor, through Wimber sharing that, through just our vineyard values, and people like Randy sharing that, I don't think I would have thought I could really do it, right? Mm. And so we're in a meeting, and he's like praying for impartation, and the power's like hitting me. Like, I'm shaking violently on my body, and somehow people are like pushing me through the crowd to Randy, and Randy puts his hand on me, and the power, I mean, he's like surging like electricity through my body, and it was crazy. I am bending and contorting in ways that your body's not supposed to.
Yeah, wow.
And Jeanne's watching this going, I what's happened to my husband? You know, this is like bizarre, you know? And I remember after that, I had a few moments to actually just talk to Randy. And he stops, he looks at me, and he says, this is never going to happen. I don't even know why I'm telling you this. I'm like, why are you saying what you're saying? He's like trying to figure out what he's saying.
Mm.
And he says, I don't know how this is going to happen. It probably won't ever happen. But if it does, if you ever get the chance to get around a guy named Blaine Cook, you need to do it. I think God has something for you. But it's never going to happen. I mean, literally, I'm like, well, that's encouraging. Why'd you say that? And so when he said that, it was interesting. It stuck in my heart. And then I know that my pastor, Charles, would often say, hey, Brian, you kind of remind me, like, I think something that's on Blaine's on you.
Hmm.
So that stuck in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then my first ministry trip that I go on, early 20s, we go to Switzerland. And at the time, Martin Buhlmann is getting set in as the bishop over, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We don't say that in the vineyard. But, yeah. You know, he's getting inducted as the national director there in Switzerland and in the dramatic speaking, you know, vineyards. And so I'm excited to go. And actually, on the roster is supposed to be Blaine Cook. And so I'm excited. I'm thinking, okay, maybe I'm actually going to get to meet this guy. And the thing that I loved is Blaine was just like this ordinary guy, business guy.
Mm-hmm.
But these stories that he had, man, were just like unbelievable in these everyday spaces.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to get around someone like that.
Yeah.
Right? There's something important about, not only did, you know, the encouragement from my pastor, Charles, but then that kind of prophetic odd word that I get from Randy. And then I was curious, like, okay, I'd love to interact with someone like that. So, like, my faith is like, kind of like, oh, I can't wait to be around someone. Well, we get there and we find out that Blaine is a no-show. He had a business thing came up and he couldn't come. So I'm like, dang.
Man.
But here's the funniest thing. Since then Blaine didn't show up, Charles then gets asked from Martin to do Blaine's workshop.
Hmm.
And Charles goes, hey, Brian, I want you to do the workshop with me. So here I thought I was going to meet this guy, Blaine, who God was probably one of the most anointed guys in the Vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it was actually he and John that sat down at a restaurant and wrote the 5-step model on a napkin.
Wow.
Like, I mean, he was a guy that risked.
From the beginning.
From the beginning, right? I mean, he was really the guy that was helping to like put this into practice, right? And so anyway, I thought this is like so wild. Only God could do something like that. And in this meeting, like, I mean, the Lord starts moving. Like, I was accustomed to getting words of knowledge, but in that meeting, I'm like getting like 20, 30, 40, 50. I mean, it's like words of knowledge are coming.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're in Switzerland, you're in Germany. These guys, like, don't give you anything, right? I mean, it's like if it's God, it's God, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we saw the power of God come, unbelievable. In fact, a really funny thing, it really tripped me out. Charles, my pastor, he said in one of the sessions, he goes, here's what we're going to do. We're going to lock all the doors and all the windows, and I'm going to ask for the Holy Spirit to come and manifest every demon that's in the place. I thought, you can't do that. He's like making a joke. He's like,
okay,
be funny.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, yeah. But about the locking the doors. Because,
yeah, yeah.
Because I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come, and he's going to reveal every demonic thing that's hidden.
Hmm.
I'm like, dude, this is like otherworldly. Can you do this stuff? And Charles says, Holy Spirit, come. Every demonic thing that's holding people back, I command them right now to manifest and come out. The whole room, like 500 people, screaming out demons.
Wow.
And people are thrashing. I'm like, this is like crazy stuff. Like, this is like what you read in the book, right? And I'm watching, I'm going, it's too much for me. I literally leave the meeting and go outside, look up at the heavens going, God, I don't know if this is real. This is bizarre. Like,
that's bizarre.
Is this I mean, this is real stuff. This is like biblical stuff I'm seeing. And so I finally come back in and I'm like trying to like figure this thing out and praying. I'm like, this is just crazy stuff. And so something kind of like just awakens in my heart seeing all that stuff and being a part of this ministry team and this ministry trip and getting to like interact and teach. And it was like my first time. And
mm-hmm.
and just, again, I had just an incredible mentor in Charles that really invested and gave me room. He would do this. Like, I'm like, I don't even know what I'm to do. He said, just take my notes and use my notes and borrow my stories until you get your stories.
Mm.
So he was a really incredible mentor.
That's very, very generous.
Very generous. Yeah. You know, but that, honestly, if I look back on most of the early day Vineyard guys, they were like that.
Yeah.
Because it was all about equipping and giving away. So that was something.
Freely you ever see, freely
you receive, you freely give.
Yeah.
And so that was embedded in me. It's a big, huge value. So it's what I live out today is because that was embedded in me from Charles and hearing from Wimber and others that. And never got to meet Wimber personally, but I was a student, man. I watched all the Signs and Wonder videos, read all the books, listened to all the tapes back in the day, you know? I was just like, man, just taking this stuff in. So we come home from Switzerland, and I hear somehow that Blaine Cook is going to be in Chicago. Back in the day, I don't know how we heard that stuff, because it wasn't like, you know, Facebook and all these kind of things like that. It was the dinosaur ages, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But somehow we figured it out and heard he's going to be, and I thought, okay. So I take two guys with me. We jump in the car, and we drove like, what, almost like 15 hours drive. And all in the way I'm praying, God, would you touch me? Would you put on me? Would you put on Blaine? Would you put on me? Would you put on... There's this hunger in me. I didn't want to be a Blaine. I didn't want to be a Wimber, but I wanted to do what they were doing.
Yeah.
Right? I wanted to see the things that they were talking about. You know, I'd seen the power show up in gatherings, but I hadn't seen the power show up in these everyday spaces. And that's where my heart was hungry.
How long was that hunger, that burning that hard
for you? Like,
honestly, I think it was really from the beginning when I became a believer. Because I had seen God move, and there was like this thing in my heart for evangelism right off the bat.
Okay.
And so, but when I started seeing that there's presence and power,
mm-hmm.
and that we could partner, and that that's available, and that this is what Christians are called to do, I was like, Lord, pick me.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
And so we drive to this meeting, and we get there, and I'll tell you back in the day, I don't want to just say back in the day, but this is there was something, honestly, at this moment. There were times in our own worship service, but in especially in gatherings like that, the electrifying presence of God in the room, I mean, it was tangible. You could feel like, I'm not kidding, you could feel like this tangible electricity in the room.
Like as you just walk in?
You could just, at least, I mean, I'm picking up, and I'm one of those guys who's like a hot spot. I mean, I feel, I'm like, shake the powers on me. I mean, I was one of those guys, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I would shake and bake and like, you know, all that stuff. And so anyway, somewhere in the meeting, Blaine just kind of like looks around. He's kind of like just scanning the room. He's looking for where God's moving.
Mm.
And that was a big thing too. Wimber, Blaine, others like Hap Dye, you know, all they learned from Wimber how to begin to look to see where the Spirit was moving.
Yeah.
Right?
John 5:19, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And so we only do what we see the Father doing.
Yeah.
And so sometimes we get so spiritual about that though. And a lot of things of how we're actually beginning to see what the Lord's doing is by the obvious.
Hmm.
We can see when God's Spirit comes on because how they react,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of visible signs. So it's not just this place of like...
super spiritual.
I'm seeing an angel.
Right.
A glory cloud is coming.
Yeah.
Those things can happen.
Yeah.
But the vast majority, you're seeing something with your eyes. Now, sometimes the Lord transposes something and you see something as well, too. So it's kind of a... both and,
mm-hmm.
not an either or you feel this drawn, you feel this sense of faith. All these
naturally,
things happen.
Supernatural.
Exactly.
it's a good phrase though about.
And so I think that's what Blaine was doing.
Mm.
Then all of a sudden he just locks eyes with me and he goes, young man, stand up. I was young, believe it or not, back then. And so, I mean, I'm approaching 52 now. So this is like my early 20s. This is a long time ago. And he says, stand up. The power of God's on you for power evangelism. And let me tell you, the power of God hit me. Like, I mean, it was like bolts of electricity went surging through my body. And I'm like just shaking uncontrollably, screaming, ah, you know, one of those things. And as I fly across the room, take out like about 8 rows of chairs, and I'm literally just screaming, God, I'll do anything. Just give me an opportunity. And like,
mm-hmm.
when you pray prayers like that.
Yeah.
God is looking to see if you're going to follow through.
Follow through.
And here's what I know, too, is like God had already been doing that and waking. He's been giving me faith. He's already given me a yes. He just wants my yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he's looking for.
Yeah, fully.
Fully, right? Because here's the thing, what can happen in these moments. We can have moments where we shake and bake, the power hits us, and people are experiencing God, and God wants us to have those.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't do something with that, it's just an experience. It's when you take and you put activation, you put feet to it, you put faith to it, that's when you begin to see and you begin to steward mm-hmm. what was deposited.
Yeah.
That's how you know that you got something. It's not that you're shaking, you're crying.
Yeah.
It's actually, what are you doing from that encounter?
Yeah. What is this unto?
What is this unto, right?
Yeah. And even maybe asking the Lord, like, what happened after that?
Well, that's what I'm getting to.
Okay.
So I'm in that moment, I'm like, God, I'll do anything. Just give me an opportunity. Well, it rolls around. It's lunchtime. And so we had to go eat lunch. So we went to Popeye's Chicken mm-hmm. in Chicago. And so I remember walking into Popeye's, and I see this lady standing in line. And all of a sudden, I had this sympathy pain hit my arm. And I was accustomed to getting words of knowledge, but this is the first time I'd ever gotten a word of knowledge in an everyday space.
Mm.
So I'm like shocked, right? In this moment, like, okay. And I hear the Lord say, there's a problem with her left arm. If you pray for her, I'll heal her on the spot.
Mm.
And being the man of faith and power that I was, that I was, see, I'm still not today. I go, no. And I just froze. Absolutely froze in that moment. I just stare at this woman. Thankfully, God knew that I was going to have a little bit of a problem with this, and I had a friend with me.
Hmm.
And my friend looks at me and goes, is God speaking to you? And I go, I think maybe this lady has a problem with her left arm, and if I pray for her, he might heal. Like, I begin to diminish the word because fear.
Mm-hmm.
And fear is a big factor in this. Listen, there's a part that's just natural nervousness that is just part of the game, right?
Yeah.
That all humans experience. But there's another fear that is the spirit of the enemy, the evil one, mm-hmm. trying to administer that fear to us so that we won't step out in faith.
Mm.
Now, it took me a while to learn that.
Mm.
But that's probably what
it's experiencing. Even to learn the difference?
To learn the difference.
Yeah.
And there really is a difference. And you can begin to navigate and learn that. But I didn't know. So I think there was two things. There was a part of nervousness, and I think there was a part where the enemy was putting that fear on me mm-hmm. to keep me from stepping into something God wanted to do through me.
Yeah.
And so my friend goes, come on, Brian. You were praying all along the way. God, touch me. Lord, put on me. Would you put on Wimber? Would you put on Blaine? I know this is your heart because we heard you praying the whole time. And, mm-hmm. and then you get called out by a guy that I know that you have been looking to, like, if I could just got around him, what could something happen? And he's trying to coach me. He's trying to encourage me. And I go, but what if it's not God?
Mm.
He goes, but what if it is?
Mm.
And I go, but what if it's not? I'm like, right, I'm literally in this place of like really like,
yeah.
I'm just being honest. I'm like this struggle, this wrestles there. And he goes, but Brian, what if it's God? And I go, well, I don't know, man. He goes, okay, how about this? He could do that. He knew that I was like in that place of struggle. So just being a good friend, he goes, how about this? How about I go over and I ask her if something's going on? So the next time this happens, you'll know. I mean, that's a really good friend, right?
Yeah, it is.
And so I said, okay, on one condition. He goes, what's that? I said, you can't tell her it came from me. Like, I'm like literally like the biggest chicken in Popeye's chicken, honestly. Yeah. And so he walks over to this lady. And here's the funniest thing. It's like he wasn't praying these prayers. He didn't come for like this encounter. He didn't get called out in a meeting. But it was almost as if. He'd been praying these prayers. Mm. It was almost as if, like, the power of God hit him because he approached this woman with absolute faith. He said, ma'am, you have a problem with your left arm. If you let me pray for you, you'll get healed on the spot. She looked at him and goes, how in the world did you know that? He goes, see that guy over there? And I learned a valuable lesson that day that God and good friends never let you get away with anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that the kingdom of God is available even when you're a chicken.
Yeah.
But you have to learn to cross that chicken line, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I love to say that in that moment, like, you know, I did more, but I didn't. I just froze it. But I saw something happen. And actually, it was funny. I forgot because I don't usually tell this because I forgot of this because I was so freaked out by this. But my friend Greg that was with me, he said, Brian, we actually did pray for some people later on in that day.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but it wasn't through the word of knowledge in that moment. But I was still in this place of just being scared. But I just was like, God, you really did come. You really did speak to me. And so then I'm learning
like
to...
Like you were saying, that's confirmation.
That's confirmation that, now. That God wants to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
And he is really responding to the hunger that he put in my heart. He just wanted me to say yes, and he wanted me to put faith to my action. And so it was a little bit of coaching, you know, through other people and through the Lord, like spurring me on. And so I just want to say that to anybody that's starting out,
mm-hmm.
like, that's okay, right? We're on this journey, and Jesus wants us to live out this life of faith. And some people are going to get it right away, and some people are going to be like me, a little slower.
Mm-hmm.
But I had that encounter, saw that, and I'm like, oh, gosh, Lord, give me another opportunity. So just like a couple weeks later, I'm in Walmart, and God just, like, gives me an opportunity. And I can tell that story and go on. I mean, it's like that's when I started to go, okay, take ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the Lord come. Well, okay, I'll just go ahead and tell you because it's kind of
funny. Yeah, this is good. Like, to me, I think one of the biggest things is fear.
Oh,
it is like
100%.
I receive something, I know I receive something, and then the consistency of living it out, taking the risk.
Absolutely.
Going through those, like, that just like, oh, I don't have time, or I'm just too afraid, or what if this is wrong, or whatever it is.
All of those things.
This is all really helpful.
All of that stuff is there, and it's still there to some degree. Now, I've learned to recognize it,
mm-hmm.
to identify it, and push past it.
Mm.
But that took time,
yeah.
Right? But, so, okay, we're in Walmart, and I'm with a buddy, and all we're doing is just looking for some fishing equipment because my friend liked to fish. I don't really care to fish, but he likes to fish. And so we're sitting there, we're just talking, hanging out, and like a Walmart employee shows up, which like that's a miracle in itself, right? Like they're never around. But this guy's like, hey, can I help you? And we're like, no, we're fine. We're just like talking, hanging out. And he just kept like being persistent. And I'm like, no, really, we don't need your help. We're fine. And so after a while, I got really annoyed with this guy because he just kept following us around. I'm thinking, does he think we're going to like rob the place, like, you know, shoplift or whatever, you know? And so I just got, being the good Christian that I am, I just turned to him and said, hey, man, we just get lost. I mean, that was the attitude. I mean, this is what God's working with. I'm scared. I'm a chicken. And now I'm rude, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe you're more holier than I am. But this is real, right? And so as the guy walks away, all of a sudden I have this sensation, this burning sensation in my eyes. And the Lord says, this guy's had a problem for 2 weeks in his eyes. If you'll pray for him, I'll heal him. And I'm like, the Lord is trying to be gracious by bringing somebody to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not cluing in. I'm not being aware. And that's really also, let me just stop here and tell you, that's a huge part, learning to be aware.
Mm.
Being aware and being intentional. And I'll talk more about that through on, but being aware and being intentional are two of the real key components to stepping out in the practice of empowered evangelism.
Okay.
First, I think you have to know that you've been commissioned, mm-hmm. you've been called, mm-hmm. right? Through the scriptures.
Every single person.
Yes, right. And so all of us are called because Jesus commissioned his church to go. I've given you authority to go and to bring healing to people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so once you have that understanding down and know this is for all Christians, this is not for a select few, this is not for power evangelists. Look, we're all called to do the work of evangelism. And let me tell you, it's work.
Mm-hmm.
It's time. It's energy. It's it takes, there's going to be sacrifice and a lot of inconvenient moments are going to come your way that are often God trying to show up to redirect your steps to get you in front of someone that you normally wouldn't get in front of. And again, I learned that over time.
Yeah,
I used to think these were inconvenient moments just because like, what the heck? This is this the enemy? It's just the frustration. What's this guy asking me questions? Cluing it, this is God. And when I begin to recognize it, I begin to see far more things take place. But I'm still new into this, right, in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, okay, am I going to be a chicken again? And so now it becomes more challenging because this guy is now with a whole bunch of other Walmart employees, like just talking, hanging out. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So I start plucking those feathers as I start walking towards the guy, right? And I'm like, oh, God, I hope this is you, not my imagination, right? All this
Your
stuff.
Your chicken feathers?
My chicken feathers, right?
Yeah.
And so, because, yeah, I'm still in this place of just being a chicken. Really, I mean, that's that place, that fear that I'm still pulling at, right?
I think many of us can relate to this, right? You know, there's the fear that kind of grips you.
And so as I walk towards him, I just said, hey, listen. Somehow I then stepped into a little bit of boldness. I go, hey, I started out this way. This is my approach. I said, again, I didn't know anything about approaches, but this is now looking back, this is my approach. I said, hey, I'm really sorry for the way I acted. I should have been rude to you. And believe it or not, like I'm a Christian. I'm just a rude Christian. Sometimes, and this is like, yeah, sometimes I get these pictures and impressions for people. And you have been having like pain in your eyes and you've had them for the last 2 weeks. And he goes, oh my gosh, how did you know that? And I said, oh my gosh, this is real.
Mm.
And so I said, instead of like, okay, there was still a bit of a chicken because instead of praying for him right there in front of everybody, I said, hey, do you mind coming down an aisle with me so I can just have a conversation with you? And he's like, sure. We went down an aisle where there's no one around.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, so you've had this pain and you've had it for 2 weeks. He goes, yes, I have. I said, okay, now I don't know how to pray for anybody.
Mm.
I don't know how to, I mean, other than what I've seen in our gatherings in conferences or at church or small groups. And
which is different.
It's different, it's completely different. Yeah. So I'm like, how do you do this?
Yeah.
What does this look like? So the only picture that I know is like what I've practiced. And so this is what I said to him. This is the way that the Holy Spirit comes, right? I said, okay, dude, this is what you have to do. You got to close your eyes and hold out your hands, assume the position. Like, that's exactly what I thought. This is the model that I knew.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay. And so he, like, says, all right. He does. I mean, it's funny. Like, when God's on something, even how awkward it may be, there's a grace that comes. And, like, he knew that I knew information that I couldn't have known. So he's like, okay, curious. And so he just assumes a position. And he closes his eyes. And I said, Holy Spirit, come, because that's what you do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't expect what was about ready to happen. And this is probably the most peculiar, weird thing. Like, I'm praying for his eyes. I said, Holy Spirit, come and touch his eyes. And all of a sudden, this guy starts going, and starts breathing heavily, like hyperventilating. And I'm like, oh my gosh, they didn't talk to me about this, right? No one told me, like,
what is happening?
In the 5-step model, they're going to do this, right? I didn't see this. So I'm like, what do I do? And I'm looking at my friend John. I'm like, this is crazy. And so what I did learn is that to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, hey, what's going on with you? He goes, man, I can breathe. I can breathe. I said, yeah, I think the whole store knows you can breathe. Like, that's like obvious, right?
Yeah.
He goes, oh, you don't understand. I've had this condition in my lungs and I'm breathing. I said, that's amazing. What about your eyes? He goes, no. You don't understand. Like, I'm breathing. I said, that's great. You're breathing, but what about your eyes? I just want to know, like,
you're like zoned in. I'm honed in.
This is amazing. This is happening. This is weird. This is crazy. You're like hyperventilating, and I don't care about all that. I just want to know, is something happening?
Mm.
Finally, he goes, yeah, my eyes are fine. And this is the profound wisdom that comes out of my mouth.
Mm.
I said, well, I guess it's double bonus day for you. And I turned around and walked away. This is how I started in power evangelism.
Yeah.
I started as an absolute chicken. Mm. I started as an absolute, like, this guy that was rude.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, God comes in a moment, powers on this guy. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. And the only thing I could say is this is a double bonus day. And I turned around and I walked out of the store, shaking my head, going, God, you're crazy.
Yeah.
This is wild.
Wow.
So that's how I started.
Yeah.
And so I've learned a few things since then.
Yeah.
But that was my journey. And then after a while, you know, what I began to see is that God started doing these kind of things. And I just learned to start being aware, being attentive. Knowing how do you begin to pray for people? How do you begin to do things a little differently? Because it's going to be different in these everyday spaces than it's at a conference or in a small group or on a Sunday morning. Completely two different animals. Some of the same dynamics, but a lot of differences as well, too. And so, but something happened in that moment when that impartation came. I believe through Randy, impartation came through Blaine. But I had to steward these encounters. God was giving grace moments, but I had to respond and learn to steward.
Over these years, have you learned some things to, one, steward those moments, but also, like you're still real hungry.
Well, I hope so.
You know, like,
I try to be.
Yeah, and so to stir that hunger, because I know, again, there's when you're in ministry, there's like, you know, pastoring and that kind of ministry that can just sometimes get mundane or, you know, or you're just going through life or, I don't know, are there any things that you maybe have learned in like stewarding the encounter or the grace, staying hungry, anything that just comes to mind in those areas?
Part of it, I started getting ruined when I started seeing this stuff happen. I'm like, God, you're real.
Yeah.
How do I partner with you?
So the testimonies, the stories of God breaking out.
And then I just started to like, okay, I want to do this. Right? After that, like third, fourth, I'm like, this is real. You can partner with God. And when I began to really see that again, that enforcement that this is the mission of the church.
Mm-hmm.
As you go.
Yeah.
Matthew 10.
Yeah.
Proclaim this God, the kingdom of God has come and heal the sick. I mean, like, do these signs and wonders, and this is what Christians do. And so at that point, I'm like, okay, I'm doing it. This is it. I'm all in, right?
Yeah.
And so I think I just began that hunger that God gave me, that persistence that he kept giving me opportunities, and then there was a place that I had to, he started to take the training wheels off, right?
Mm.
And then I had to, like, then pursue and look for and engage, and then all of that started happening. And so because I think I kept doing it, that I kept fanning into flame,
mm-hmm.
right? I kept fueling my tank, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And I started to look. And then early on, the Lord started
So you're intentionally looking.
Yeah. So the Lord spoke to me. He said, Brian, I want you to do three things. I want you to learn to look. I want you to learn to listen. And I want you to learn to respond. If you'll look,
mm-hmm.
you'll see me. If you listen, you'll hear me. And if you do that scary thing and respond, you'll see my kingdom come.
That's good.
And so, and here's honestly, in that moment, you can have that, but here's how you know that the anointing or God's presence is like when you get that sweaty palms, when your heart's mm-hmm, beating, mm-hmm. and you're like nervous, you're in the wrong place, the wrong time, the wrong person. I mean, all of those kind of things are like the dynamics that you learn, like, oh my gosh,
yeah,
like
good.
I'm late for something, but God, you're wanting me to meet with somebody. Like, this is inconvenient, but God, you're showing up. It's all that. But I really did become very intentional.
Mm.
And I think that was the part, and that's where I think I learned about being intentional, being persevering. Like, perseverance is a huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just started doing it, and I started going. And then once I started to do it, I would share the story.
Mm-hmm.
And then people were like, oh, my gosh. But then people would say to me this, Brian, I don't think we can do what you're doing. And I go, why? Because we don't have these words of knowledge. Because a lot of that was coming through words of knowledge.
Yes. I have been, like, I'll just say personally, I've gone through seasons of words of knowledge, but, like, I feel very dry in the last several years, actually, which is interesting.
Yeah.
But I've still seen God move and show up without it.
Yeah.
Like, I'll just say, hey, do you have pain? But I have no words of knowledge.
Yeah.
But I want words of knowledge.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I feel in that, like, words of knowledge, like, desert right now.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do?
Well, and okay, well, first of all, so that came, and I thought for a second, I thought, well, maybe that's true.
Mm.
Maybe this isn't just a, I didn't see that in the scriptures, but I thought because the people were telling it back to me, maybe that's true. And then I started looking. When I saw Matthew 10, it didn't say anything but words of knowledge. He said, just as you go.
As you go.
And so I thought, well, that's not true. So then I went on an experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I'm going to go try this without words of knowledge and see if it happens.
Mm.
So I just went to people and I did every awkward thing you can imagine. I would go knocking. I'd go door knocking.
Door to door.
Door to door. I'd say,
I'm not a Mormon.
No. Not a Mormon. No, but we do this crazy thing. Like, I just want you to know that the kingdom of God is available. I mean, I was doing like these crazy things.
Wow.
It went from being chicken to then being bold to like trying and experimenting. And literally, I would do that.
Yeah.
And so, but just intentional. And so I was like, look, and I'd come back with stories. We're still seeing it happen. And look, it's in the book.
Yeah.
So,
without words of knowledge.
Yeah, so there's no excuse.
Yeah.
But now words of knowledge are amazing because
it
what it does is it gives you faith in the moment and gives the person faith. Like, faith is like is being given, right?
Yeah.
To be given back to God.
Yeah.
We don't muster up this faith. It's like it's helping us to see what the Lord's doing. But then the Lord began to show me. He's like, Brian, I want you to learn to do this with even when I'm not giving you revelatory information. When I said, look when you see someone in need.
Mm. Like physically with your physical eyes. Yeah.
Yeah. And you see someone in distress, I want you to bring my presence to that person in need.
Yeah. That's good.
I want you to listen when you hear a conversation of somebody, not hearing a conversation then act like you have words of knowledge. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
When you hear someone just talking about their pain or their problem, I started to clue in and go, God allowed me to hear that. And I might say, hey, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to overhear your conversation, but I heard that you're struggling with something. And I use that as that icebreaker, so to speak.
Right. That's your
to engage.
Approach. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So those were key signs for me. And so, man, but I did everything. Honestly, I went door knocking, and then I thought, okay, you know, you got to go find sick people, right, to pray. If you don't see sick people, and then I started going to emergency rooms, hospital. I mean, I tried everything. When I mean I've done everything, I've done everything and tried everything because I was hungry to see God move, and you needed to go to where places people were hurting, right?
Right.
And then I also began just to see it, like, again, not just in those places, but I think that the thing that I really believe the Lord wants us to clue into this is the everyday space
mm-hmm.
where we normally live. Like, right, I think that the miraculous is meant for the mundane activities of our life.
Mm.
That God wants to do life with us. Now, I know some talk about, like, man, it's like 24/7 looking around. If you're a father, if you're married, if you have a job, which I was all those, had a job. How do you do that? You can't. So, but when you go to the grocery store, you need to start looking when you're buying milk.
Yeah.
You start listening. So those everyday things that you're already doing, just include the Lord into that place. Because God's already working. That was another big thing for me. When I began to understand that God is always at work, that understanding, that value helped me learn to be aware, to start looking, to start listening, to start responding. God's always working. He's always moving. He's just looking for us to respond to his movement.
Yeah.
Because we can only do what we see the Father doing. And that doing what the Father is doing might be just seeing a need.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
And then I begin to have these things happen where I would just clue in. I'd hear somebody, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I guess I have to respond, right? And you do if you want to grow.
Right.
If you want to dive into this stuff, it's going to take your participation, and it's going to be awkward. It's going to be weird. To this day, there still is. Now, I've learned to put a good game face on. I've learned to, like, most people think, you seem so bold, and I say, up on the inside, I'm like going, oh my God.
Is nothing happening?
All that stuff, right? That's normal, and that's part of the thing. And so, and I never honestly want to lose that either, because again, I want to make sure I'm dependent on the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not just,
look what I can do.
Right. And believe me, that's been worked deeply in me. I don't think I can do any of this stuff, but I do believe that it's in the mission. It's in the message and the ministry, and that's where I draw faith from.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in a gifting. And I don't honestly, this is kind of controversial sometimes when I say this, but I don't even know that I'm, if I'm an evangelist, it's this, that I'm equipping people.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing, I don't hold an office to that. I believe Jesus holds the office. He is the great evangelist.
Yeah.
He's the great pastor, the great teacher, the great prophet, the great apostle. He's the one that holds this office and these giftings, and he distributes them as he wills in the moment. And sometimes he's like, Brian, I want you to move in this gifting of evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
And the gifting of evangelism is the equipping of the saints. It's not just doing evangelism,
right?
Because we're all called to do evangelism.
Right.
So there might be a gift mix that he gives me in that moment to equip and to train people. And so in that, he has done that, right? Mm. And I enjoy it. I love to equip. I love to train.
Yeah.
I love to give it away. I love, because one, knowing the scriptures, but then I also had good teachers and mentors in our Vineyard values that said, give it away.
Yeah.
And I heard the Lord speak this to me earlier. Brian, if you want to see a tremendous amount of healing, give it away.
Mm.
Give it away.
Yeah.
And you'll see more than you could ever think.
Yeah.
If you give it away.
Yeah, that's really good. I think one of the maybe challenges, like, again, this hits on our character or integrity of, like, you know, I don't want it to be all about me, or I don't, I think I hear what the heart of what you're saying is, like, I'm just saying yes to the Lord over and over and over again.
That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
And here's the truth. How God's will gets done is through men and women.
Yeah.
Through humans.
Yeah.
Through people.
Right.
Like, and so it's a commissioning.
Mm-hmm.
And so His work gets done through his body, through his people.
Yeah.
And so, yes, it's all about God, but it's about God in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Mm-hmm.
It's us working with God.
Yeah.
And so there is a place, sometimes the will of God isn't being enacted because the church isn't doing what Jesus is wanting the church to do.
Yeah, that's good.
So it is a both and, right?
Yeah.
And we can get into a false humility, or we can get into pride.
Right.
Either way. And so, but listen, God knows how to keep you humble. He really does. And because once you listen, the more that you step out, the more that you pray, the more that you do things, you're going to see a tremendous amount of things happen. And you're also going to come to a lot of times when you're like, nothing happened.
Yeah.
Like, this is scary.
And I do want to address it. We're gonna take a break in a few minutes here, but we want to kind of press into that in the second half of this. What do we do with when nothing happens?
Yeah.
Before we take the break, what are you seeing? You know, I love hearing kind of the origins and some of the things that the Lord has taught you. Really, really helpful. What are you seeing right now? What are the things that you're seeing God do through you, through people you're equipping, that is getting you excited, that is like just like burning in you?
Yeah, so that's what excites me more than anything is actually seeing the ministry of Jesus being duplicated out, right. and finding people that like have never been able to do this. I've seen people from 5 years old to 85 years old move in the presence of the power of God because they've come and like, let's go do it.
Yeah.
Right. And so, and one of the best ways that we've actually been doing the last several years is going on trips, right?
Yeah.
Going to beautiful South Africa. I've been going for the last almost 10 years now and taking teams and getting people out of their in natural environments into another environment to kind of shift their way they're thinking, to get them away from all the distractions that we get into, mm-hmm. to help shift their mind for a moment. And then we, for the next 13 days, we just spend time for 6 to 8 hours a day showing how to do the presence and the power of God in these everyday spaces, whether it's the mall, on the beach, yeah. You know, all these different places. And then they come back going, oh my gosh, I can do it. So,
I mean, it's been one of the most transformational things in my life. For sure. Just like everyday spaces, we're seeing the power of God. I mean, I think the average trip that I've been on with you, like 400 healings, several hundred salvations, like just amazing.
And again, in the everyday space.
In everyday spaces. Like
blind eyes, deaf ears, cripples walking, all sorts of different types of pain, you know, leaving people's body, people encountering Jesus. And so that's what gets me excited.
Mm.
So that's where I've spent the last, you know, several years just investing and in doing these types of trips to help equip people. Because look, if people didn't equip me, I wouldn't be doing it.
Right.
And so that's exciting. And then I'm always looking for opportunity to help equip people to push away the excuses. Mm. Right. And also learning how to dial down. Because oftentimes people are like, I don't know what to say, what to do, or they get trapped in what I did. Like, the only model I know is like what you do on Sunday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, part of it came through experiment, and part of it, the Lord gave some real revelation on it. But the thing I've been loving to watch God do that's been crazy is, and I've seen this now for a number of years, is watching people get healed through a smile.
Mm.
I mean, that's like kind of trippy. Like, what do you mean? People getting healed through a smile. I'm like, that's what I mean. Literally, people getting healed through a smile. It's like that. And once you've had an engagement and connection with them, I'm teaching it like the guys are coming with me. I said, here's what I want you to do. I know it sounds crazy, but once you've identified what the pain is, either that's through a word of knowledge or you just simply just go and ask somebody. And we've tried it in all sorts of different ways. Let's just say we've walked up to someone and said, hey, we're walking through like a pick and pay. We call it pick and pray. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like a supermarket, like a Walmart there in South Africa. As you're going through the line, we're just going to buy something. Why don't you just ask the cashier if she has some pain in her body? Okay. Once you find out she has pain, I want you to ask the cashier, what's your pain level, right? Mm-hmm. So you can identify. Once you know that, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get really spiritual. And I just want you to look at her and smile. But don't get one of those weird, crazy, cheesy smiles. Like, just kind of look and just maybe ask, hey, can I hold your hand for a second? Just smile and see what happens. And we have watched this. Now, it's been several thousand times that I've seen it happen. And it be duplicated over and over and over of people getting healed through that. And people are like, what in the world? They're freaking out. And the message behind that is this, is that God sees you, and he's smiling at you, and he's not mad at you.
Yeah.
And God wants you to know he's come to love the hell out of you. And if Jesus can bring healing to your body, he wants to bring healing to the entirety of your life. The very fact that Jesus just healed you through a smile, he wants you to know that your sins have been forgiven.
Mm.
Would you like to come to the life and the heart of Jesus? So that's kind of the training ground, right? And giving them a little bit of language to that part where we just start with, like, dial it down. You and I can't make it happen. God is on us because it's in the mission. Mm-hmm. It's in the message. It's in the ministry.
Yeah.
So why don't you just try something as simple as a smile and see what God might do?
Yeah.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
Because anybody can do that.
Yeah,
anybody. Because people get tripped up.
In their words, what do I say?
What do I say? Can you smile?
Yeah.
Then you can heal the sick.
Yeah. And maybe we'll talk about some of the practicals of that.
Absolutely.
Like, what do you do when it doesn't happen the first, second, third time or whatever? Do you keep smiling bigger? Do you laugh? You know,
anyway. All that stuff. Yes.
Yeah. But we're going to just take a few moments, a 10-minute break. And so we will be back in 10 minutes. So at